Good afternoon and welcome back to All Things Marcellus on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I am Doug Clark of the Clark Law Firm. You can give us a call if you have any questions on today's show or any subjects at 307-0702. You can check out our websites at pagasleaseattorney.com and pipelineattorney.com. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear on a show, please feel free to email us at questions@pagasleaseattorney.com. During the first segment, we were talking about top leases. We're starting to address some of the questions that we've been receiving from landowners, as well as some hot topics which keep appearing and certainly believe they are critical for you to know as landowners. One of the things that we do at the Clark Law Firm is I negotiate surface use agreements with various companies. And many times people call or have questions as to what is a surface use agreement, and if I have a surface use agreement, what is it, if anything, you can do to help me? Well, a surface use agreement is a kind of a general term. Some contracts are literally called surface use agreements, but these surface use agreements are used to cover surface activity on a landowner's property. These are usually done after a lease has been entered into. A surface use agreement can cover anything from well pads, access roads in the form of roadway agreements, water impoundment ponds, temporary workstations, any installation of above-ground facilities such as pig launchers, receivers, metering stations, compressor stations, essentially any surface activity on a property. Surface use agreements can also have various names. There can be a well pad agreement, a roadway agreement, or any other name of the document which covers surface activity on the property. Now, it's important to note that not all companies offer contracts for surface activities, and that some companies will merely act under the terms of the lease if the activity is permitted under the terms of the lease. For example, if your lease allows for, and as most, unless a non-developmental lease, allows for the construction of a well pad on the property, some companies will present a surface agreement or a contract for that pad. Others will just move forward and construct a pad with landowner notification without a separate contract, but under the terms of the lease. Also, if you are presented with a surface use agreement for something such as a well pad, and you do not sign the agreement or you try to contest it unless you have valid grounds, the company will most likely go ahead and operate under the terms of the lease because a surface use agreement may not actually be necessary. I personally like surface use agreements when they're presented to landowners because if they are carefully negotiated, they can be used to help define company activities and eliminate surprises in the future. We, of course, always start off by trying to use the surface use agreement to strengthen the original lease terms whenever possible. Of course, this is not always possible, and a lot of times it is not possible at all. I continuously try, when I have a client with a surface use for a well pad, to try to insert such things as a clean and green provision for landowners who did not have clean and green provisions in their original leases. However, at this point in time, I've not been successful to do that. Companies are always very concerned about setting precedent, and they're also very concerned about adding terms subsequent to the lease that are going to be beneficial to the landowner. However, with that said, a carefully negotiated surface use agreement can eliminate surprise and operate to the benefit of the landowner. Recently, I have an example of a client who had received the surface use agreement. And to give you an idea of how this can work to the landowner's benefit, my client was presented with a surface use agreement from a land agent for a well pad on the property. The landowner figured, listen, under the terms of this lease, this is a permitted activity, and I have no problem signing with this document. The landowner also talked to the land agent, landman, saying, I really want to protect my property. I have this beautiful set of trees on the property that I planted when I was a child with my grandfather, and they carry a lot of sentimental value. So I know this well pad is planned, as you've indicated, to go in around these trees, and I want to make sure that these trees aren't touched because they're an important part of this property and they have a lot of meaning to me. The landman, as they'll do, sit down at the kitchen table with the landowner, and during this process in this meeting, the landman sketches out a quick map of the property, a diagram, if you will, Well, sitting at the table saying this is where the access road will go, draws a couple stick figures for trees as to where the trees are, and the landman goes on to make a note directly on this little map saying that these trees will not be touched. Weeks later, the documents, the actual surface use agreements, are drawn up and they're finalized, and a landowner is presented with these documents and again believes, listen, this is a permitted activity under the terms of the lease. I understand what's going on. They know my concerns. I'm going to go ahead and sign this. Now, again, please keep in mind that I was not involved at this point in time, and this was not a client of mine. The problem that ended up occurring here is that virtually all contracts, and certainly surface use agreements, have a provision which indicates something to the effect of this contract, or this agreement is the entire agreement, and that any and all prior agreements or negotiations are superseded by this surface use agreement. And of course, this would mean that kitchen table sketch that we talked about, with the wording handwritten by the landman indicating trees are not to be touched, was not attached as an exhibit to this contract and certainly wasn't part of the contract terms. Now, when I get involved is months later, when the landowner calls me very upset and actually distraught, saying, I really need your help. The construction team is coming out here and they're planning on cutting down these trees. And I said, well, what trees? What are you talking about? And she goes through and provides me the detailed story of how this particular landowner planted the trees with her grandfather, and they had a lot of sentimental value, but this landowner had already entered into a surface use agreement. So I call the company, and we do what we can do, and there were some things that we were able to do to make the situation a little better for the landowner, but nothing like what we could have done had we been involved prior to the signing of the surface use agreement. Had I been involved before the surface use agreement was negotiated and signed, and also been made aware of the concerns of the landowner, which of course is one of the top topics that the landowners and I talk about whenever we're considering entering into or negotiating any agreement, I'm very confident we could have addressed this tree issue as part of those original negotiations. Unfortunately, because the plans were made, the permits were obtained, and construction was commencing, it was too late to make any changes to this document. This, again, is an outstanding example that if you're presented with any document, the first thing that you should do is give us a call. I tell every landowner and many past clients and clients who are not or never became clients can attest to this, that I tell everybody I'm not here to take somebody's money who I can't assist. What we try to do is, or what I do is, I be presented with what the agreement is, I be told what the landowner's concerns are, and if I feel there's nothing that I can do to help the landowner, I honestly tell the landowner, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do to make any change in this, and I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to help you. Now, if there is something we can do, then we talk and we explain what it is that I might be able to do, what are the landowner's specific concerns, and whether or not we feel that we can address them. So, again, it's extremely important that you call and you find out, what do you have, what are your options, and what are your rights. You never want to learn after the fact, like our example here and like so many other examples that I come across every day and every week, that you had other options and you had abilities to say no or do things differently, but you didn't ask or you were afraid to call. Do not be afraid to give us a call. I talk to people all the time. I answer emails on a regular basis, and I consider it my job as a landowner and as a lawyer to help people and to make sure that people don't make mistakes that we've seen other people make in the past. Now, another question that I get and another issue that comes up all the time, and it also would be an issue in such as this surface use agreement example that we just talked about, is a term called mutual consent. Going back to this surface use example, the landowner in this case, had a mutual consent provision within their original lease regarding the location of the pad, the well pad. And remember that almost all leases or agreements say that have a mutual consent provision also indicate that mutual consent is not to be unreasonably conditioned or withheld. I've seen this language of mutual consent work in great favor of the landowner. Unfortunately, I've also seen this language used to the detriment of the landowner. And I guess I shouldn't really say to the detriment of the landowner. However, the landowner has a position after we've discussed mutual consent, after they've argued it with the company, that essentially that mutual consent provision was worthless. Again, bottom line is that I've seen this mutual consent work to the great benefit of the landowner, but I've also seen landowners completely disgusted with the results of this mutual consent language. I bring this up because mutual consent, time and time again, comes up in all negotiations, whether it be for pipelines, well pads, water lines, whatever the case may be, that landmen and even company representatives will point to the fact that there's a mutual consent provision and therefore the landowner can essentially have a lot of input as to where something will be or where it'll be located. And as a general principle, I've seen that work very, very well for the landowners. But again, a lot of the people who I represent are landowners who have problems or landowners that have extra concerns or concerns beyond what maybe a typical out-of-state landowner may have regarding their property. And in these cases, there have been many times where I've seen landowners, and unfortunately, a lot of these times we become involved or they call me way too late in the process where we can actively do something, where the landowner will say they want to put an access road across this prized piece of land that my grandchildren were going to maybe build a house on, my children were going to come back at some point and build a house on. Maybe the land is their prize hay field where they're having the most production or things of that nature. And they say, I do not want this access road to be located in this field. If you can present an alternative, and if you can do it early on, you have the best chance to maybe reroute this or get another location. If you sit there and you do nothing, and the company goes on and they say propose or have planned maybe 10 or 12 different well sites in a row or even 5 or 6, they have permits, things like that. If you wait too long and you do not tell the company what your objection is, and even if you tell your company right or tell the company right away what your objection is, it doesn't mean that you are going to be able to move it. But the sooner you act, the better chance that you have to have a road or a pad moved or rerouted. The longer it takes or the longer you take to voice your objections, the worse off you're going to be when you try to argue that the company is being unreasonable. I have seen landowners contest the location of well pads or access roads to the bitter end, only to see the company to go ahead and install the road or the pad in the exact area where the landowner was objecting to. The point is if you do not raise this mutual consent, and if you're not successful in objecting to any pad or location, the real remedy for the landowner is going to be to file a legal action to try to stop the company from doing or placing the road or well site where they want to. This, unfortunately, is going to be an enormously expensive endeavor for the landowner, and most landowners ultimately elect not to do this. So again, if presented with a surface use agreement of any kind, give us a call at 307-0702. We're coming up on a break, and to remind you, you're listening to All Things Marcellus with Attorney Doug Clark at 94.3 FM, The Talker. You can email questions for future shows at questions@pagasleaseattorney.com and check out our websites at pagasleaseattorney.com and pipelineattorney.com. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about pipe leasing. We're going to talk about the way we construct legal fees at the Clark Law Firm and also talk about companies seeking to buy mineral rights at 94.3 The Talker. This is our land, our piece of Pennsylvania. It's our right to protect our property. I'm Attorney Doug Clark of the Clark Law Firm, where we focus in negotiating gas leases, pipeline agreements, waterline agreements, surface use and roadway agreements, and all things to do with Marcellus Shale development. We offer comprehensive representation covering all your Marcellus Shale needs. Do not sign any agreement before speaking to the Clark Law Firm. Do not leave any financial compensation or property protections on the table because you did not know they were available. Do not leave your land exposed to abuse in the future. I personally am a landowner and consider myself a landowner lawyer. I fight for landowners on a daily basis, and I will fight for proper compensation and protections for you and your land. The Clark Law Firm, 1563 Main Street, Peckville, 307-0702, and online at pagasleaseattorney.com and pipelineattorney.com. This is your land. The Clark Law Firm will fight for it.